Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, October the 23rd, 2009. It's a weather market in November for corn? Really? What happens in January? We'll try to find out today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Aaron Curtis at Midco. He's in Bloomington, Illinois. Our panelists in studio today are Mike Giorgi of Allendale from Mahomet, Illinois, Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson Group in Champaign, Illinois, and Matt Bennett of Total Grain Marketing out of Windsor, Illinois.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Well, let's open today's discussion with this question. How is it, Matt Bennett, that you see the corn market, futures and basis, playing out in the next 2 months, 2 weeks, 2 days? Oh, that'd be the weekend. That'd be the easiest one. What do you see?
Well, whenever you look at the way this corn market's set up, I mean, obviously we've had a nice little rally here recently. I think it's had to do with more than just the weather. I think the weather definitely is playing a factor, but it's becoming a much bigger issue now that we're this late in the year, this high of moisture, and now the fields are saturated. It's a scary situation for not only for the farmers but for the processors because, you know, the pipeline with new corn really isn't getting filled up because guys can't get it dried quick enough. It's something that we haven't dealt with in many, many years. I would say the basis is not going to fall apart anytime soon because simply we have to get some corn going. We have to get it dried and we just simply do not have the capacity to dry it anything like we need to have it done. Now, when you look at the futures, I think it's a function of several different factors, but I do think that the futures are going to have a hard time falling out of bed whenever we come in next Monday, you know, and we see that we haven't made really any progress in the last week. Probably not going to make a whole lot of progress next week unless we have some weather that they're really not forecasting for us.
Jackie Vicks?
Well, I couldn't agree more. Excuse me. We're hearing things that are beyond almost believing. In parts of Iowa, they're taking corn in at 35% moisture, paying them like it's 20%. They don't do that unless the pipeline is extremely tight. And so I think it's going to be really difficult. Even once we get out into the field steady, we've got guys being told that the elevators are not going to take grain afternoon. So even if you're out there hammering away, they can't get it through the pipeline fast enough to get it to where it has to go. So I think it's probably going to take until we really get a hard freeze so that the ground firms up and we start to get a really steady flow of grain into the elevators before we'll see much of any drop in basis.
And Mike Giorgi.
Well, I think that's true. We've got a slow start and slow going for corn, but I still think the numbers that we're hearing are exceptional yields, even with light test weights. So the product is going to be there. The basis is good, and I think with the rally in this market, you've got to take advantage of cash sales and work on it in a slow, steady process.
Is everybody in agreement that cash sales should be made across the scale? Yes, no?
Well, I think whenever you look at your bids, it's pretty darn tough not to say the market's asking me to sell it right now. I've got a lot of guys that don't want their money till next year. Well, they're saying
there's no incentive to pay any storage. I mean, maybe there's a 2 cent carry in the market. You can't pay for any storage with that. So guys are selling it and taking the money in January. But if a guy's wanting to do something right now, I don't see how you can't.
Well, absolutely. You know, when you've had a dollar rally in the market off the lows, almost at least even higher than that during the day today, any old crop sales certainly should be taken advantage of. And when I look at new crop, if you've got to make the decision between whether it stays at home or whether it goes to the elevator, I think it's a no-brainer. I think it has to go across the scale. And you can always look at reownership.
The rally that we've had, some have pegged on crude, the dollar, a little bit, I suppose, the weather. Are there other issues afoot here? Are we? And I think farmers will look at it and say, I haven't gotten into my crop. It is wet, and it's going to stay wet. And it's going to go down, although I think they're convinced it's going to go down. I don't know whether they see it going down just yet. So I guess the question is, at this point, you've all said there's a sale, there's a big crop out there, and it's going to stay big. The farmer probably isn't convinced that that's really the case, is he?
No, I would say the farmers, when you're seeing 20 cents in beans higher for 7 to 10 days, it's pretty hard to make you think it's going to go down. But I think it's the opportunity right now that they're getting. We're saying, you know, the basis is tight. There's no carry in the market. South America is going to come on with a decent crop this year after 2 years of drought. There's going to be a lot of beans out there. Why do you want to hold beans? There, I can't see a reason why. You can sell them and buy options back and have less risk.
Well, you know, I think that one of the things that we've been talking to clients about steady is if you're not going to do something in cash, then you need to get something in place like a put.
On corn.
On corn, absolutely. I think that it's essential. You have to reward a rally like this in some way, and most guys can make money at $4. You know, depending upon what their input level was. And as, I guess I'd have to say a lot of farmers I've talked to, especially today, are actually more bearish than you would think. And it's because they've been out in the fields, and they're scared to death. So they don't know what to do.
Hmm. Okay, so it seems to me that there's an awful lot to take up. Let's take up just the logistics of a crop of this size at this point. How does it come into the marketplace? On Friday afternoon, we talked to Bruce Bostard. I spent a lot of time late in the evening on Thursday night talking to elevator managers, and the whole crop. I think everybody's pretty much in agreement. The whole crop has to be dried, whether that's on the farm or at the elevator. It's all got to be dried. And that when we talked with Bruce on Friday afternoon, when you hear that I can run at 10,000 bushel an hour, that's, you know, for 5 points. But that's not for 15 points. and so it's going to take a huge amount of time to get this crop through the dryers. And
I've had a couple of guys that I talk to regularly from Chicago call me and say, oh, you know, is this thing being over-exaggerated? I mean, are we going to be able to get into the field once the fields dry out here whenever we had rain a week ago? Everything, this is all going to be over in a month. Is that the way it's going to work? And I've said it's logistically impossible. It's just flat out impossible. You know, guys went out and bought some of the elevators, got 10,000 bushel an hour dryers this year. Well, that's 10,000 bushel, like you say, for, you know, maybe 20% corn. But you take 27, 28% and run it through there, you're only going to get 3,000 bushel an hour. And you're going to keep one guy going. One guy with a big combine is going to be going into a big elevator. It's just people don't realize whenever you've got this volume of corn, there's so few corn acres that actually were planted in April. And we all know that. We've known it all along. And in the April planted corn, yeah, it's been coming out of the field close to 20. But whenever you only had 5 or 10% maybe planted in April, and the rest of it is running anywhere from 24 to 35%, that corn's not going to dry down anymore from here on out. It has to go through the dryer, and we just flat out do not have the capability to do it.
Yeah, so the grain elevator, the best they can hope for is to keep the dryer busy 23 hours a day, put it on the ground, get rain, I guess, and then dry that, which seems to be working out so far. they get plenty of rain at this point. It looks like it's going to take forever to get this crop through the process. Does that keep cash basis really strong?
Well, that's what I was saying earlier. I have a hard time believing, because the grain's not going to get to the market the way everyone needs it to get to the market, because you're not going to have dry grain to go to the market with.
Yeah, but, and then when we finish up, December, January 15th, whatever it is, December 25th, December 15th, I don't know when we finish, but whenever that is, and it's all been put away, but the farmer, say, put it away in a bin, he can't keep it. Probably, unless he's got a dryer, so he can't keep it for very long. And even if he thinks he can keep it for very long, the weight limits on his roads are going to change. And he can't keep it through April, I wouldn't think, when they change back. So the whole thing's got to come into the marketplace. What happens then?
You can't put wet corn in a bin. You can't. I mean, it can't be very wet and put it in a bin.
But, yeah.
And so farmers, you know, myself included, we're not set up to be able to keep up with our combine with a dryer in a bin.
Lots of empty bins this year, just not used?
Well, yeah, for sure.
So the whole thing's coming in. So once it all comes in, and I suppose producers, are they going to sell it all across the scale? Should they sell? It says that they should. I mean, isn't that what it's telling us right now, that they ought to sell it all across the scale, right, Jackie?
Well, absolutely. There's not enough carry in the market for commercial storage.
Let's deal with it just that way. I don't care what's been sold already, but you harvest, you drive across the scale, you sell it because you don't really have much choice, right? And then at some point, everything's in. When does it fall out? I mean, if it's all in, what happens then in January and February and March? I mean, commercials own the whole thing, but I don't suppose they can carry it for all that long. It's a lousy crop, roughly speaking.
Well, I think you're not going to get it smoothly going through the process from producer to end user, but you're still going to see the basis widen out because the elevator's not going to want any more corn. It's like you said, he can't dry it fast enough, so when he quits, he's done. He's not going to take any more in, and the base is going to widen, and then you're still going to get docked for moisture. So, I mean, it's still it's going to be a slow process, but there's going to be farmers that are going to do things. They're going to get the crop out, and yeah, it could be a mess, but I think, the chances now, there is carry in the markets, in the corn market anyway, so there is a chance to keep it, and if you can get it dried down, You just got to do it because it's going to work out in the end, and we're going to have a lot of corn come through and be stuck somewhere.
Right. So you're of the mind that it's going to come in. If you can hang on to it, that you're going to get a higher price later.
Well, the carry's giving you the higher price later, so it's worthwhile hanging on to rather than the beans.
You know what? I think I'd like to bring maybe Aaron Curtis, who's been waiting on the line into this, and he might have something to say about that. He's at Midco. Hi, Aaron. Thanks for being with us. I'm going to bring you in. We maybe have 3 minutes, and we're just going to bring you in a bit early. Can you tell me what it is you do for Midco to begin with?
We're commodity risk consultants, Todd. That's our official fancy title, but basically what we do is we help elevators work with their merchandising plans, which includes spread strategies, talking about basis and those kind of things to help them implement their merchandising plan.
Right. So what are they telling you?
Well, obviously, it's a lot of frustration at this point. I mean, we'd like to be busy. I mean, we got another weekend off, it looks like, and unfortunately, we'd like to be dumping some grain. And we had a little busy spell here early in the week, a lot of beans being done, a lot of record bean days for a lot of our customers, Tuesday and Wednesday, which was a nice change from what we've seen at this point. But unfortunately, the calendar is going to change again into next week, and that's pretty frustrating for most elevator managers, I think.
Well, I guess the question is, do you think are farmers going to sell everything across the scale, and is that the right thing for them to do?
Well, there's usually a difference between what they do and what the right thing to do, right? I mean, like your panel's mentioned, I mean, the spreads and bases are telling us one thing, and typically we need to pay attention a little bit. I don't think this is overly complicated most times. I mean, we make it a little more complicated than it really has to be, but the market is telling us they need the grain right now, and we should probably be rewarding that. Like I would agree with the panel, especially on soybeans. I mean, especially we saw some $10 cash bids here this week. It's a good place to be rewarding the market, and and especially on corn. I know there's some carry there, but I think especially if cash is a concern and is a need for the producer, I think we need to be rewarding the market with some of these levels that we're seeing.
Will basis stay strong all the way through the month of November?
Well, that's going to be a key question here. We're going to spread this thing out enough that basis is should hang in there. The question is going to be, are we going to get into November? I mean, we hinted a little bit today in the midday forecast that the first week in November looks a little better, at least for the eastern corn belt. So if that's the case, we still got, at this point, a 13 billion bushel corn crop out in the field. I mean, most people would argue that we probably haven't lost a whole lot of yield at this point, at least that we know of at this point. So the market, that crop's going to have to come to market somehow, some way, and that could weigh on basis a little bit as we try to move through it. But we might spread this thing out enough that we don't see the typical harvest weakness that we're accustomed to.
Well, let me stop you there for a second, because I want to pull the rest of the crew here. Do we have a 13 billion bushel crop in the field today?
With the yields that we've heard so far, I think you have to agree it's going to be 13.
I don't agree.
I think that with the yields that you've seen, it's pretty tough to argue against it. Now, where it's going to end up is another thing. I mean, it's right. Really tough to gauge. Where is it going to end up?
Okay, and you're shaking your head, so I'm guessing that you're on the end up side.
That's exactly right.
13 billion today, though, or not?
No, I don't think so.
So where do you say today?
Where do I say today? I'd say between 12.7 and 12.8.
Right.
200 to 300 million down, and maybe even less than that. You know, it's interesting. Spent a lot of time talking to Iowa farmers in this last week, and guys out there who are harvesting steadily, I can't find anybody who believes they're going to average 180 in Iowa. They're just not finding it. They're extremely disappointed in a lot of places, especially now that they're getting a little further into some of it. So, you know, when you look at the USDA and you talk to them, Iowa was going to carry the world. Unless we really exceed what they thought we were here, and they've got us plenty high, I think that it's unlikely it's going to be there.
Aaron, do you think there's a 13 billion bushel crop out there?
At this point, I do. I think there's going to be some question, I think, in some areas, especially on test weight. You know, we've heard some issues on some low test weight, and typically that's going to make your big yield even bigger. So that might be an issue here as we get a little farther into this corn. But, you know, with just harvest progress in the teens, I'd still say we've probably got a 13 billion bushel crop, but obviously a lot of issues can affect that here as we move forward.
Matt, Jackie mentioned Iowa, that their corn's not yielding as much as maybe as they thought. They have an awful lot of corn on corn, and they generally have a lot of corn on corn, but maybe we ought to talk about what that means for next year. From your perspective as a farmer, I mean, is it going to be possible to do that next year?
I've been talking about this nonstop for the last 2 weeks, and I guess what we all need to realize is that, you know, yeah, we had more beans this year than what we have been having, but we're still heavy corn nationwide. Where are you going to come up with corn on corn acres? You know, you're going to pick up some corn acres from your soft red areas, and you know, so what? You're going to pick up a little bit there. Well, in Iowa, as you say, they're heavy, heavy corn on corn. Well, if you can't even get the crop harvested, how are you going to get it tilled? You know, it's just it's a situation that I don't know is being lent enough credence just yet. I think whenever I agree with Mike, move beans, you know, there's going to be a plethora of beans whenever you look at South America. And most likely our bean acreage next spring is going to be much higher than what it was this year, unless something unforeseen happens. I have a hard time believing that we're going to even be 85 on acreage for corn next year unless things happen that I'm not seeing, because how are you going to work the ground when you can't even get the corn picked?
Okay, so maybe I better catch this too. So I've got more beans. Go ahead and sell beans from Mike. Go ahead and sell beans from Matt. Jackie, are you in that same boat?
This year's new
yep,
crop?
New crop.
I didn't have a problem selling beans at
the
this
current
point.
Crop here.
The current
right.
crop,
and,
right.
And how about you, Aaron?
Yeah, I think the market's telling us to be moving beans, and I think when the market talks, we need to do a better job of listening, especially with the way the carry looks in the market and what some of the basis levels we're seeing historically. Very, very good basis levels for this time of year. I think the producer needs to be rewarding the market.
You know, the producer, I think, at this point, though, is going to look at the beans, and they're going to say, well, what happens on Monday and we show 45%, right? Does that make any difference? And I guess maybe not, but does the condition number make a difference? And what about the second half of the bean crop? If, say, we're 50%, what about the second half of the bean crop? Is it actually going to get harvested, or will it shatter all over the place? How do we get 25% of that crop? Do we get 10%? Do we get all of it? Any thoughts?
Well, I think right now you have to anticipate you're going to get the crop. And so far we've had some fantastic yields. We're the estimates or the production numbers we're getting from customers is like 6 bushel over average or what they've anticipated. So, yeah, if we lose some, we're still going to the bottom line is we're still going to have a big crop.
One of the things that I did today, knowing I was going to be on the show, was I talked to one of my friends who works for a large exporter out of Louisiana and asked him about beans and what the situation was. And I have to admit, I was a little bit surprised. But he said, you know, in cash, believe it or not, beans are going to have to move from now until February at the same rate that they move during full harvest in the fall. And we know we move a lot of beans in the fall time. He said, just to meet the export demand on their side. And so that's one of the things that kind of is, you know, it's supporting the market right at this point in time because the pipeline is tight and the anticipation is that we're front-loaded on exports, no matter how you look at it. So we're going to need beans. We've got to keep them moving in the pipeline constantly. So I think that will impact both futures and basis.
I agree, you know, with what these guys are saying. You know, Mike said about harvest, you know, you got to assume it's going to get done. But there's a reason why guys were working till 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning this week, and that's because if you get 2 inches of rain on beans at the end of October, guys know what that does potentially to their bean crop and to their yield. You know, if you have 50% of it in the Midwest harvested, you know what, great. But I do feel for the 50% that isn't harvested because the implications to what it could do for it yield-wise, you know, one assumes that we're going to have good weather in the next 2 weeks. You know, the market's not, I mean, the forecasts aren't really telling us, but we always hope for that as a farmer. If we don't, and guys end up having to cut beans after the ground's froze, you can't tell me that those beans aren't going to suffer a pretty severe yield loss.
Nope. Yeah, but does the futures react to that, or is it all built up, front-loaded already, and we've got what we're set? I mean, what happens?
I think the futures have reacted to a point, but I do still feel like if you stay wet, it's going to be really hard. I'm not saying I'm super bullish, but I have a hard time saying there's going to be a lot of weakness until you get a bigger chunk of this harvest put away.
Right. I think future reaction really was the overnight reaction last night. That was the first time we really saw a tremendous push in the bean side of things, and I think it's primarily the fact that they looked at that weather forecast. It looks like more rain's coming in again next week, and that's tough. Up until now, you know, we're at $80 barrel crude. That's certainly been supporting a higher move in the bean market.
Aaron, how do you view the soybean side of this issue?
Well, here we are, end of October almost, and we're 2 months into the marketing year. We're, you know, based on our current demand, we're using about 260 million bushels a month on beans, and here we are 2 months in, so we're already behind. And, you know, typically when we're this tight on the bean demand, or at least ending stocks at this point moving forward, it takes a while to get kind of the pipeline recharged, and I think we're going to continue to see basis stay fairly firm here short term, and we're going to, see the Nov-Jan bean spread probably continue to work towards an inversion, closing at a penny and a half carry here today. But, you know, I think the futures has priced in some of this concern with some of this potential yield loss, but I think we might see more of it being done in the spreads here moving forward.
All right, so I don't know whether I'm better off before the show started or not, but let me see if I can summarize here. So we're, 24 minutes into a 29-minute show. On corn, everybody is – on corn and beans, everybody feels like we should sell across the scale, right? I think that's correct, on corn and beans. And then pressure comes into the corn market just because it's all there. And maybe does everybody want to buy the crop back at that point on the idea that we'll have fewer corn acres and more soybean acres in the U.S.? I mean, this is really kind of a rough summary, but And you're shaking your head really hard over there, Jackie. So I'm guessing I'm getting this wrong. So maybe outline how you think that's all going to happen.
My opinion is everything you said is pretty well accurate. I do think I sell across the scale, especially for a guy looking for the money. Do I store right now whenever the market's not telling me to store? I don't think so. I have a hard time not selling every bean that I raise this year. As far as corn goes, yeah, I might play with some of it, but I would be more apt to sell it and then buy some sort of an option. Now, whenever I look at next year, I think that throws a monkey wrench into the whole situation because the rush for corn acres is going to be on, and I do think that that's going to provide a strength to the entire corn complex. I think that you will have every month maybe supported, and there will probably be a significant amount of carry to the D's 10 at some point. That's the way I feel.
And on top of that, there won't be any soft red winter wheat acres to hold the corn market back.
Not at all. And I think, you know, as you look at it, I think what you said was pretty accurate, with the exception it's all on timing. You know, it's like Matt said, the whole thing comes down to timing. And the problem that you have is if you don't want to sell across the scale, you have to do something to protect yourself.
Well, I think that's right. But, you know, the other thing, talking about the beans, you know, the later we get into beans, the closer it is for the South American beans to be harvested. So can they go buy beans somewhere else if our pipeline isn't filled up yet? Yes. So there, you know, there's another reason to sell beans, sell cash beans now. Corn, we've got exports that yesterday were 265,000 metric ton. We're really behind on our corn exports. So is our 13 billion bushel crop going to be sold, or is the demand going to pick up?
Aaron?
Well, yeah, I still think you continue to reward the market. I think, you know, especially if you're considering whether or not you want to pay storage or not, you know, it seems to me, you know, fairly common sense. If you take some of that money you would have paid for storage, you know, sell your crop across the scale, get your money, and then go out and buy some sort of an option to kind of replace some of that ownership and then kind of wait back and see what it is. I don't think you're going to be able to, you might not give a chance to make up some of this basis gain we're seeing at this point if you continue to wait as we continue to move a little farther into harvest. So take some of your money, replace it, you know, on paper, and then you'll be able to still participate if this market does want to continue to rally, at least on the future side.
Aaron, thanks so much for being with us.
You bet. Thank you.
Aaron Curtis is with Midco. He's in Bloomington, Illinois, in studio with us, and with their final words are Matt Bennett of TGM.
I'd just like to say to all the farmers that are worried about this fall, I feel for you. It's going to be a tough one. Keep your head up and, you know, stay safe. I know everyone put in a lot of hours this week. You know, just, I don't know, keep it in perspective.
Jackie Vicks.
Right, exactly where I was going. Stay safe. That is the thing that I'm the most concerned about.
And Mike Georgie.
I think you're worried about others, but you need to worry about your merchandising, marketing, so you need to take some time and look at that as well.
And that wraps up this edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, you can always pick up Commodity Week on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you can find this programming and other agricultural programming. You have a good week. I'm Todd Gleason.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you. Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.